Today's daf is Beya Daf Yud Dalet. Now we are at the Mishnah, four lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Moshe ben Frumit, Chaim Moshe ben Esther, Kloinimus Kalma ben Rivka, and Tamar bas Chasida Fruma Rivka. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Miril Bas Rab Moshe. So we're continuing to discuss different halachos related to Yontif, different machloikesin between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So we know the halacha. Ein bein Shabbos liyontif, ela oichel nefesh bovat. You're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif. However, there's one major difference in terms of what melacha you're not allowed to do on Shabbos and what melacha you're not allowed to do on Yontif, and that is melechas oichel nefesh. Literally, any melacha that is necessary in preparing food. Melechas oichel nefesh you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. However, melechas oichel nefesh you're allowed to do on Yontif. The makar to the idea that you're allowed to do melechas oichel nefesh on Yontif is a pasuk in the Torah. It's in Parshas Bo. The pasuk says, "Ubayoyim harishoy mikra kodesh, ubayoyim hashvi mikra kodesh yielochem," referring to the Yontif of Pesach. "Kol melacha lo yeyasa behem." You're not allowed to do melacha. Ach, says the Torah, "Asher yeyachel lechol nefesh hu levadoy yeyasa lechem." If it's a melechas oichel nefesh, that type of melacha that you are allowed to do. So the fact that you're allowed to do melechas oichel nefesh on Yontif is a pasuk in the Torah, Parshas Bo, regarding the Yontif of Pesach. Acha sheyeyochel lechol nefesh hu levado yeyasa lochem. However, despite the fact the Torah mentioned it only regarding Pesach, Chazal understood that Pesach is a binyanav, and it teaches us that if it's true for Pesach, it's true for all yomim tovim. By Shabbos, you don't find this idea of acha sheyeyochel lechol nefesh hu levado yeyasa lochem. It's for that reason that Shabbos, you're not allowed to do even a melech. However, on Yontif, you're allowed to do a melechas oichel nefesh. The truth is, the Ramban in Parshas Emor says that there's another hint in the Torah to this idea that although on Shabbos you're not allowed to do any melacha, even melechas oichel nefesh, Yontif's different. On Yontif, you're allowed to do melechas oichel nefesh. The Ramban makes a diuk nifla in the many psukim in the Torah that talk about the issa malacha on Shabbos and the issa malacha on Yontif. The Ramban says that if you look carefully, wherever the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, it says in the Torah you're not allowed to do kol malacha. Sheishas yomim tavoid v'asisa kol malachtecha v'yoy mashvi Shabbos l'Hashem alokecha lo yisase kol malacha ata uvincha uvitecha avdecha v'amascha v'hemtecha v'gercha asher b'sharecha. And every time the Torah says you can't do malacha on Shabbos, that's what it says. You're not allowed to do kol malacha. Says the Ramban, if you look at the psukim that talk about the issa malacha on Yontif, the Torah says, "Bayoyim harishoy mikra kodesh," this is referring to Sukkos, "kol meleches avoida lo yisasu," regarding the Yontif of Pesach. "Bayoyim harishoy mikra kodesh yelochem, kol meleches avoida lo yisasu." So on Shabbos, the Torah says you're not allowed to do kol malacha. On Yontif, the Torah says you're not allowed to do kol meleches avoida. Says the Ramban, what's the difference between malacha and meleches avoida? Quote, "Avo Pirish melechas avoida, kol melacha she'eneno la'oichel nefesh." Any melacha that's not a melechas oichel nefesh is referred to as melechas avoida. So melacha means any avoida. It doesn't matter if you're cooking in the kitchen or if you're plowing in your field. Melechas avoida means dafka a melacha she'eneno la'oichel nefesh. Ki'inyin she'nemar, and the Ramban goes on and he has Rayas from Sukkim, ubechol avoida basode. So you see, when you're working in the field, it's called avoida. Venevadetem, venizratem, vekayen hoya oiveid adomo. So the Ramban brings Rayas from Sukkiyat Torah that the word meleches avoida means melacha that's outside of the kitchen. Melacha that has nothing to do with oichel nefesh. When it says melacha and it doesn't have the qualifier of meleches avoida, that would mean all malacha. So the Ramban says it's beautiful if you go through the psukim by the Isser Shabbos, the Torah says loisase kol malacha, because there you're not even allowed to do meleches oichel nefesh. However, when the Torah says you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif, it says in the Torah kol meleches avoida loisase. Then the Ramban says there are one or two exceptions to the rule, and he works out the exceptions. Kamin Chaymer, the bottom line is, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do any malacha. On Yontif, you're allowed to do malacha Seichel Nefesh. It's a pasuk in the Torah and Parashas Bo regarding the Yontif of Pesach. Ach ashe yeyochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado yeyosel lechem. And the Ramban says that if you know how to be medayik, the psukim, a little more carefully, you would see that really every single time the Torah said, you're not allowed to do malacha on Yontif, but the Torah says, you're not allowed to do a malacha savoida, which means malacha outside of the kitchen. Because if the malacha is being done, let's say, in that case, it's really going to be okay. So the rule is that any malacha that's malacha seichel nefesh, you're allowed to do on Yontif. Stating that, we saw already in the previous daffin that that's not always the case. And in today's daf, that's going to be even more clear, where we're going to see that not every time a person does malacha, l'tzorech oichel nefesh, does that mean it's a malacha that he's allowed to do on Yontif. Says the Mishnah, with that little bit of an introduction, Beishamai Yoimrim, Beishamai says that if somebody wants to grind spices on Yontif, tavlin, spices, nidoichin, can be crushed, you can grind them, b'madoich shaleitz, using a pestle that's made of wood. However, what he means to say is that you're not allowed to use a madoich shal even, a pestle that's made of stone. So the traditional and conventional way to crush spices would be to use a madoich shal even. Bishamai says that if you're doing an anyant, if you have to do it with a shinoi. So you can use the madoich shal even, that's the way you would usually do it, but rather you have to use a madoich shaleitz. Another thing Bishamai said was, v'hamelach, that if somebody wants to crush salt, bepach, he can use an earthenware keli, as in the pach shemen, ube'etzapar, or he can use a wooden stick. Meaning, salt is more chamor than spices. You're not even allowed to use the madoich shaleit. So the traditional way to crush spices would be to take a madoich, a pestle, that's a crusher made of stone. That's going to get the job done. On Yontif, you have to use a shinoi. So what's the shinoi? Tavlin, spices, less chamor. As a result, you can use a madoich, you can use the crusher. However, it shouldn't be made of stone, it should be made of wood. Salt is more chamor, you can crush it again, but you can't even use a madoich. So what could you use? You're going to have to improvise. Either use an earthenware jug, or if you want, take a wooden spoon. But the point is, you can't use a madoich. Bissul is makel. Bissul says, tavlin, if you want to crush spices, nidoich and kedarkin, you could do it in the traditional way, which is b'madoich shaleven. You can use a crusher that's made of stone. The Hamelach, and if you want to crush salt, there too he's more makel than Beishamai. He says, b'madoich shaleitz, you would have to use a crusher that's made of wood. So you see in the Mishnah, a machloik is Beishamai Sol, in terms of crushing spices on Yontif, that you for sure see. Additionally, you see in the Mishnah that salt is more chamor than spices. You see it in Beishamai and you see it in Beisil. Beishamai says that if you want to crush spices, a little bit of a shinoi is enough. Instead of using the madach that's of Evan, use the madach that's of Eitz. Melach, you can't even use the mud. The Beisil also is Mekel versus Beishamai, but at the same time, he doesn't treat salt and other spices equally. He says that if you're crushing spices, you actually don't even need to make a shinoi. And if you're going to be crushing salt, then already you're going to have to use a shinoi. So the Gemara says, the Kuli Alma Mias, everybody agrees that melech bo yishinoi, that salt is more chamor than spices. In fact, even Beisil that holds that you don't need to make a shinoi when you're crushing spices on Yontif, holds you would have to use a shinoi when you're crushing salt. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Meaning, why is salt more chamor than spices? Or let's talk in Beisil, because we paskin like Beisil. Why is it that Beisil holds that you don't need a shinoi when it comes to crushing pepper, for example, but when it comes to crushing salt, you do? So the Gemara says, Ravuna Rav Chizda, it was a machlokes amiram. Chadama once said, because kol hakdeiro is kulam tzriches melech. When you cook, you know you're going to need salt. However, in kederos tzriches tavlin, not all kederos require spices. Therefore, before Yontif, you knew you were going to need salt on Yontif. You didn't know you were going to need spices on Yontif. Therefore, you should have prepared salt, but you didn't necessarily have to know to prepare spices. So therefore, salt, which is something you should have known that you had to prepare, even though it will allow you to crush it on Yontif in the event that you didn't prepare it, but at the same time, you're going to have to use a shinoi. Whereas spices, maybe you didn't think that the food that you were going to cook on Yontif was going to need black pepper. Maybe you didn't think it was going to need that particular tavlin. As a result, we're more lenient. And therefore, when it comes to crushing it, according to Beisil, you wouldn't have to have a shinoi. That was one Amoyris Pshat. The other one said, Kol ha-tavlin mefigin taimon. Spices, if you crush them before Yontif, by the time Yontif comes, it's going to lose a little bit of its bite. It's not going to be as sharp as you want it. Umelech ena mefigin taimon. However, salt is not that way. Therefore, salt you should do before Yontif. By doing it on Erev Yontif, you're not compromising any bit of the quality of what it is you did versus doing it on Yontif. Therefore, why do it on Yontif? Do it instead Erev Yontif, and therefore that's the way you're supposed to do it. Okay, you didn't do it on Erev Yontif, you want to do it on Yontif, that's Beseda, but you'd have to use a Shinui. Whereas Tavlin says Beis Hillel, if you would do it before Yontif, it wouldn't be as spicy, it wouldn't be as sharp when Yontif comes. And therefore, we're not telling you to have to do it on Erev Yontif, therefore you could do it on Yontif, and you could do it without a Shinui. So we have two reasons why salt would be different than Tavlin. One reason is because you anticipated you were going to need salt, so why didn't you just crush the salt before Yontif? Therefore, you want to do it on Yontif, do it with a Shinui. The other reason is you could have done it before Yontif and you wouldn't have lost anything, as opposed to the Tavlin, where that's not the case. So the Gemara says, my Beinayu, what's the nafkamina between the two Pshatim? Ike Beinayu. So you have two nafkaminas. Number one, the other, my Kedei Rabbi Lev Shuli. Let's say you knew what you were going to cook before Yontif. If the reason that spices are different, and the reason spices are more kuludig is because you didn't anticipate you were going to need the spices, well, if you knew exactly what you were going to cook, you had a menu that was already printed out from before Yontif, so you knew what you were making, so you knew you were going to need the spices. If you didn't crush the spices before Yontif and you knew you were going to need it, now you have to do it with a Shinui. If the reason spices are different is because it's mafik tam, because it's not going to taste as good, okay, so it doesn't matter if you knew or you didn't know. Either way, it would be okay to crush it on Yontif if you would add a Shinui. You know me? Another nafkemini would be b'mayrika. So mayrika is a certain spice that is not mafik tam. So if the reason that you're allowed to crush it on Yontif without a Shinui is because had you done it erev Yontif, you would have lost some of the taste, well, mayrika, you wouldn't have lost some of the taste. So therefore, in that case, you would have to crush it on Yontif with a Shinui. If the reason is because you didn't anticipate you were going to need the spice, you didn't necessarily know that the recipe you were making called for Marika, and as a result, halach is, you'd be able to do it on Yontif. Regardless, you see from here that even though we're dealing with crushing spices, which is a malacha, but it's a malacha soichel nefesh, so you would have thought if it's a malacha soichel nefesh, what's the shayla? Bishamei, bisulam, mitashinu, yonashinu. What's the problem? When a woman, when she cooks in the kitchen on Yontif, she has to cook with a Shinui? She's cooking. It's Melech HaSeichel Nefesh. It's something that's mutter in the Torah. Acha Sheyi Yochel L'chol Nefesh. Ulevada Yosel L'chem. The Rabban says every single time, the Torah said, you're not allowed to do Melech on Yontif. It carved out Melech HaSeichel Nefesh. It said, Kol Melech HaSavoida. And if you know Diktuk, if you know Tanakh, said the Rabban, you would know that this is Miloshen V'kayin Hoyoi V'desu Adoma. That's what it means. It means you're not allowed to work outside of the kitchen, but in the kitchen it's fine. Afal Pi came, there were certain chumras that Chazal gave, and they said that under certain circumstances, you should not do a melechas oichel nefesh even on Yontif. And this halacha that we just learned now is probably exhibit A for such an exception, and that is that any melechas oichel nefesh, that if you would do it before Yontif, it would be just as fine and just as good as if you did it on Yontif. The halach is, you're not allowed to do it on Yontif. In our case, you can do it, albeit with a Shinui. Obviously, each melacha needs its own shikul, but the point is, the aside of the very, very, very first part of the daf is this idea, that even if something's a melacha soichel nefesh, but if you could have done it before Yontif, and you would not lose out at all by doing it before Yontif, you're supposed to do it before Yontif, and now when Yontif comes, you can't just use this blanket heter known as melacha soichel nefesh. Zok the Gemara. Omer Rav Yehuda Meshul. If you descend the name Meshul, kol ani doichin, nidoichin kedarka. If you want to crush any spices on Yontif, you're allowed to do it in the regular way. Va'afilu melech, even salt. Feit the Gemara. Afilu melech. Va'amre melech by Yishinui. The Mishnah says that melech needs a Shinui. Even Beisil, that's more makel in the Mishnah. So he was makel by Tavlin. He said Tavlin, you can use the madoich shalev and you can crush it in any way you want. But as it relates to melech, we just gave two reasons why melech's different. But the point is that melech, for sure, you need to have some sort of Shinui. So how could Rav Yehuda say over in the name of his Rebbe Shmuel and Amira something that contradicts a Mishnah? So the Gemara says, "Huda Amakei Tani." You have to say that if Shmuel really said that, he was going according to the following Tana. The Tanya we learned in the Brayos. Amar Amira Amira said, "Leinechleku beShamayu beSilul alani doichim sheni doichin kedarkon umelachi mohem." There was never machlekes beShamayu beSilul that if somebody wants to crush salt together with other spices that he's allowed. I mean, even though there's a major machlokes b'sham yisrael in our Mishnah when it comes to crushing spices and crushing salt, but at the same time, Rav Meir qualified the machlokes b'sham yisrael. And he said that if somebody wanted to crush regular spices together with salt, even though salt is very, very chomer, it's fine, you'd be allowed to do it. What was the machlokes? If somebody wanted to crush salt by itself, that was the shailah. I said, melech b'pach, if you want to crush salt, you have to use an earthenware jug, or that wooden spoon. And even then, you'd only be able to crush a little bit of salt, the amount of salt that you would need to kasher meat in the event that you're roasting the meat.
moilik there. But if you're cooking the meat, in which case you'll need more salt, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, that you need a lot more salt when you cook meat to kasher the meat than you do if you're only roasting the meat. So if you're going to need that much salt, then it's not going to be okay. But what we need is beisil b'chol davar. Beisil said you can crush salt b'chol davar, however you want. Everything? What's the problem? Why not everything? There's certain things that are mukta, so it shouldn't be everything. Eleim the Gemara says lichal davar. Lichal davar meaning you're allowed to crush the salt by itself. That's number one. You don't have to use a shinoi. That's number two. And lichal davar, you could even crush a lot of salt, even if it's going to be like kedera, you're cooking, which means you need a lot of salt for the kashering. Even that's going to be okay. Bottom line is, Remeir had a whole different version of the machlokes b'sham b'sil that we have in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Beis Hillel held that if you want to crush salt, you have to crush it with a shinoi. But in Beis In Rav Meir's version of Basil, that's not true. Basil, Oimrin, salt, bichol davar, lichol davar, even by itself, it doesn't have to be crushed together with anything, it doesn't have to be done with a shinoi. So if Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that halach is that you're allowed to crush salt however you want, kol ha-nidoichin, nidoichin kedarkon, v'afilu melach, what was the question? It's not like the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, even Basil holds that when you crush salt, you have to crush it with a shinoi. We gave a whole bunch of different reasons why, but at the end of the day, that's what came out. So the Gemara says, it's true, that is the Nusach, that's the text that we have in our Mishnah, but there was another text that was floating around, and that was the text of Rav Meir. Ironically, our Mishnah's girsa of the Machloikis B'Sham Misol is not Rav Meir's girsa of the Machloikis B'Sham Misol, despite the fact that Stam Mishnah usually was Rav Meir's version of the way he had transmitted the Messiah of different machloikis in between B'Sham and Besilol and different halachas. But the bottom line is, there was a nusach that even Besilol allowed you to crush salt in a regular way without a shinoi. Clearly, that's where Rav Yehuda and Shmuel held. The Gemara says, Amale Rav le Rav Acha Bardala. Rav told Rav Acha Bardala. That's the Hagoyis Abach's girsa. Kidaiches Atzli Atzluye V'doich. That when you crush salt, so you can do it in the regular way, like Beisil, meaning you can use your regular mortar, like Rav Meir's girsa in Beisil. You don't have to do it with any shinoi. But at the same time, Atzli Atzluye, you should take the mortar and you should move it to the side, meaning don't hit it head on. Instead, use like the width of the mortar as opposed to the flat part of the mortar. Rashi says this is a little bit of a shinoi. It's a shinoi zuta, and at least make that little bit of shinoi. Rav Sheish says, the Gemara says, Shama kol buchna. Rav Sheish says, we know it was a saginar. And he once heard the sound of a pestle and a mortar inside his house, and this was going on Yontif, meaning something was being crushed. Amar, so Rav Sheish said, Hai lav migave de besoy. This can't be coming out of my house. He said, there's no way. So why? Because he understood that what was going on is they were crushing salt. And he held that you're not allowed to crush salt. Now, the Gemara assumes that Rav Sheish has held, like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel held, like Rav told Rav Acha Bardala, that you really are allowed to use a regular crusher to crush the salt. However, you have to be atzli atzli. You have to hold it on the side. You not let it do it head on. So the Gemara says, "Duma atzli atzli." Maybe that's what was going on. Had Rav Sheshes know it wasn't coming from his house. Meaning, he said, "In my house, the oilam is upgehitin. There's no way this would be going on." Maybe it was coming from his house, and maybe it was to the side. So the Gemara says, "The shame David solokol." He was able to tell from the sound. It was such a clear sound. He knew that this was a mortar that was being used in the way you're supposed to use it, in the optimal way. It wasn't being used in some shinui way. So the Gemara said, tavlin have a, maybe it was tavlin. How did he know that it was even melech? Maybe it was tavlin. Now tavlin, even in our Mishnah's girsa, tavlin nidoichin kedarkim emadich shaleven, based on the whole thing, you don't find anything about a shina, right? The only time we found you should make a little bit of a shina is with salt. Salt is more chumra than tavlin. But as it relates to tavlin, you don't find you need a shina. So how did Rav Sheshes know it's not coming from his house? Because he was able to tell from the sound of it that there's no shina going on. Maybe it was tavlin. Maybe it wasn't salt. So the Gemara says, tavlin nevuchin mandich kale. He was actually able to tell the difference between the sound of crushing tavlin versus crushing salt, and based on the sound that he heard, he knew he was listening to salt. He also realized from the sound that this was head on, this wasn't being done with a shinoi, and he said, this is clearly not coming from my house. He said, because in my house, the oilam is trained, they know that this is not something that you're supposed to do. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa now that's going to go, you're not allowed to make tisni on yontif. So what is tisni? So these are toasted grains that were divided into four. And the fact that they're divided into four, meaning you slice them into four, matters because it means that it involves tircha. And because it involves tercha, we try to reduce the amount of tercha that we do on Yontif, apparently even in the kitchen. So it's for that reason, ain oisin tisni, the Braisa says. You're not allowed to make tisni on Yontif. Then the Braisa says, ve'ein koichin b'machteshes. You're not allowed to use a crusher. You're not allowed to use the pestle and the mortar. You're not allowed to crush anything. And the Gemara says, tarti. This seems to be a stira. Why is it a stira? Because the way tisni was made was using a machteshes. Now, the Reisha, the Braisa says, ein oisin tisni. You're not allowed to make tisni. Sounds like you're allowed to use a machteshes. You just can't use the machteshes to make tisni. And then it says, ve'ein koichin b'machteshes, which sounds like you can't use the machteshes at all. So which one is it? Is it only tisni that you can't use? And why we say tisni would be more chamer? Because it's a big tercha. So is it only the thing that involves the major tercha you're not allowed to use? Or is it in kaitch b'machteshes, you're not allowed to use it at all? And that's the Gemara's kasha. One word, tarti. Tarti means it's a stira. You're saying two things that contradict each other. The reisha doesn't shtim with the seifa, and the seifa doesn't shtim with the reisha. So the Gemara says, hachika amar, you have to say that this is what the braisa means. Matam inoisin tisni, lefmisha in kaitch b'machteshes. It's not a stira. The braisa is explaining itself. The halach is enoitz and tisni. Now you want to know why enoitz and tisni, matam. The reason is lefish ain't koichem b'machteshes, because you're not allowed to use a machteshes. But at the end of the day, what the Brice is saying is ain't koichem b'machteshes, not just tisni, ain't koichem b'machteshes. But the Gemara says if that's the case, v'leim ain't koichem, just say ain't koichem. Why are we talking about tisni? Just say ain't koichem b'machteshes. Bishloim, if it's only tisni that you're not allowed to make, it's because of the terchos, I understand. That's why we're singling out tisni. That's the halacha we're trying to say. But if really in koichim b'machteshes, the seifa of the braisa is really the point that we're making, and in fact the seifa is even the pirish on the reisha, so just say the seifa. What are we gaining by mentioning the reisha? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Because itani in koichim b'machteshes, that we said only in koichim b'machteshes, have a mina, I would have thought, hani mili b'machteshes gedoilo. Only b'machteshes gedoilo you're not allowed to use. Rashi says that stam ketisha was done with a machteshes gedoyla. I mean that stam was done with machteshes gedoyla. If you would simply say ain't koichim machteshes, you would think only a machteshes gedoyla is not okay. Avol b'machteshes ketano ein meshapadami. You would have thought a machteshes ketano is okay. Kamash malon. So therefore we said ain't oisin tisni and the ain't koichim machteshes. And it was understood the way Rashi explains the Gemara that you would be bothered by the arichos of the braisa. And the answer to that question will be is that in koichim machteshes doesn't just mean you're not allowed to use a machteshes gedoyla, but it also means you're not allowed to use a machteshes ketana. But the bottom line is what the Brice is saying now is that when it says ein oisin tisni vein koichim b'machteshes, even though usually machteshes means a machteshes gedoyla, over here it means even a machteshes ketana. Fake the Gemara, is that true? It's connected to the Brice, but Tanya learned to the Brice in koichim b'machteshes gedoyla, avol koichim b'machteshes ketana. You are allowed to use a machteshes ketana. And Rashi says the reason you're allowed to use a machteshes ketana is because being that traditionally people use a machteshes gedoyla, so it comes out the normal way of using a machteshes is using the big one. So if you use the small one, it's a shinui, it's a kalachar yad, and it's for that reason it's going to be mutter. But the point is that how could you tell me ein oisin tisni ve'ein koichim b'machteshes means l'rabois even a machteshes ketana? The Brice says clearly not that way. In koichim b'machteshes gedoylo, avol koichim b'machteshes ketan. Amar Abaye, Sabaye said, kitanya nami masniso machteshes gedoylo tanya. You have to say that really when the Brice said in koichim b'machteshes, it meant dafko the machteshes gedoylo, meaning the way we suggested originally. Not machteshes ketana, because if it means machteshes ketana, it's contradicted by the brisa that the Gemara just brought. If that's the case, so what's the ein oisin tisni ve ein koichem b'machteshes? What's the kasha? Why are you talking about tisni? Just say ein koichem b'machteshes. It means machteshes gedoyla. That's what machteshes usually means, and that's the beginning of the end of the halacha. What are we gaining by saying ein oisin tisni? Bishloimo, if ein oisin tisni is somehow in a roundabout way a giloy, that when it says in koichim b'machteshes, it means even a machteshes ketano, so that's why we mentioned ein oisin tisni. But Abaye is saying, based on the kasha from the Braisa, it can't be. Meaning, ein koichim b'machteshes means dafko machteshes gedoyla. So why did we say ein oisin tisni? So Rashi explains that what Abaye meant to say was, is that there's two halachas in the Braisa, very clear. Ein koichim b'machteshes, the second halacha means you're not allowed to use a machteshes gedoyla. Machteshes usually means a machteshes gedoyla, and that's what it means in this Braisa. What does ein oisin tisni mean? When it comes to tisni, this particular food, you're not allowed to make it even using a machteshes ketano. And the reason is because of the tircho. So ordinarily, you're allowed to use a machteshes ketano. And ein koichim machteshes means only machteshes gedoyla. What does ein oisin tisni mean? When it comes to tisni, that is unique because of the tircho involved in preparing tisni, then you're not even allowed to use a machteshes ketano. That's the first pshat that the Gemara gives in this braisa. The second pshat is Rava said no. Loi kasho halan v'haluhu. Meaning, la'olam pshat in our brayse, in oisin tisim v'nei kais machteshes, is that in kais machteshes means ethan a machteshes katana. Ah, you have a brayse that says you're allowed to use a machteshes katana. So Rava said one brayse was discussing Bavel, and the other brayse was discussing in Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, you were not allowed to use the machteshes gedoyla, but the Rabbanim allowed you to use the Machteshes Ketana. In Eretz Yisrael, Halahu, there they didn't allow you to use even in the Machteshes Ketana. And the reason is because apparently the Avodim, quote-unquote, that worked in the kitchen, Rashi says, in the households of the Yidden that lived in Eretz Yisrael, they were mezalzel in Hilchas Yontif. In Bavel, they weren't so mezalzel. And therefore, because they were mezalzel, they didn't want you to use even a machteshes ketana. Because if you can use a machteshes ketana, you can end up using the machteshes gedoyla, and that's already a problem. As opposed to in Bavel, where they were more observant in this regard, so therefore they said you can't use the machteshes gedoyla, because that's the real issue. Machteshes ketana, which involves a shini anyways, this is something that you'd be allowed to do. On that note, Rapapi, Akvilebe Mar Shmuel, Rapapi once came to Shmuel's house, Aisile Daisa, and they brought him Daisa. He didn't want to eat it. It's a daisa, some meichel that involved using a machteshes. The Gemara says, why didn't he want to eat it? Meaning he's being choshet Shmuel. That what? He used the machteshes, but only machteshes gedoyla you're not allowed to use. Shmuel lived in Bavel. Since Shmuel lived in Bavel, over the other way, Rava just explained, it was only the machteshes gedoyla that was also. So maybe use a machteshes ketana. So the Gemara says, the chazi davi dayik tfei. He was able to tell from the pieces that this was done using a machteshes ketana. But the Gemara says, v'duma me esmo lavdua. Maybe it was prepared yesterday. Why is it me chayshet Shmuel? Imagine you come to Shmuel's house, the God of Adar. I'm sorry, I don't trust the hashgacha. I don't want to eat. So the Gemara says the chazi davi kol of tzari. He was able to tell from the look of it that this was very fresh. V'ibay yisayim. The Gemara says shani bey mar Shmuel. Rapapi knew what went on sometimes in Shmuel's house. The ikka pritzusa da avdi. Shmuel's avadim sometimes were pirates gather when it came to these things. And amazingly, Rapapi didn't want to eat from Shmuel. Not Shmuel, but the Avodim of Shmuel. And it's for that reason he was Machmer Zok the Mishnah Vaiter. So we're going to go Me'inyan Le'inyan. We're going to discuss different types of melachas on Yontif that you would have thought really are melachas echel nefesh, and as a result, these are things that you should be able to do. And stating that, it's really not so posh. Zok the Gemara. Haboirer Kitnius Biyontif. If somebody is Boirer Kitnius on Yontif. So you're sitting down, you're eating, you have food, you have Oichel and you have Psoilus, and you want to now be Boirer the Oichel mitoich Psoilus. So what's the halacha? So let's take a step back. Boirer is one of the Lamatas Malachas. Stating that, there are times you're allowed to be Boirer. In fact, if you want to be Boirer, there are three conditions that have to be met. Number one, you have to be Boirer with your hand. Number two, you have to be boirer oichel mitoich de psoilus, the thing you want from the thing you don't want, as opposed to taking away the thing that you don't want. Additionally, if you're being boirer lechel, you have to eat it right away. If you're being boirer to take something, so you would have to take it right away. But the point is that when it comes to boirer, it's one of the lametes malachis. However, if you can check off these three boxes, so then the halacha is that you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to be boirer. Again, as long as you meet those three things, it's going to be fine. The question is, what about on Yontif? Says the Mishnah. Boyer kitnis b'yontif. Someone's been boyer kitnis b'shami b'shami. Says boyer oichel v'oichel. You have to be boyer oichel. And the Rishonim speak out, lav dafka oichel. Meaning it has to be oichel. I mean dafka oichel. But it means other things as well. It has to be biyad and it has to be miyad. Meaning the three criteria that you have to meet in order to be boyer on Shabbos, you would have to meet in order to be boyer on Yontif. In other words, what b'shami is saying is, there's no difference between boyer on Shabbos and boyer on Yontif. Mesul says boyer kedarke. So it says, no, you don't have to come up with all these different shinui. You have to do things in different ways when it comes to Yontif. But rather, you can be Boirer Kedarkoi. So for example, Becheikoi, if you want to put it all out on your lap and be Boirer that way, it's fine. Bekanoi, you want to use this funnel, that's fine. Betamcha, you want to use a plate, that's also fine. Avalei betav, avalei benaf, avalei bekevra. But if you want to use a large plate or you want to use a sieve, that's already not going to be okay. However, Yontif is again more kuladig than Shabbos because at the end of the day it's a melachas eichel nefesh and it's for that reason it's going to be okay. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said, "Af madiach v'shael." There's another thing you're allowed to do if you want to be boirer eichel mitoich psoilus. So for example, you have kitnius, any form of kitnius, and you want to separate the eichel and the psoilus. So what you could do is you could put the kitnius inside a bucket, fill it up with water. And what's going to happen is, we'll see in the Gemara, either the Oichel or the Psoilus is going to rise to the top. You'll just remove it. And like this, you'll be done with it. You'll end up having what it is you need. So again, we're discussing Boirer on Yontif. You would think Boirer on Yontif, that's a Melechas Oichel Nefesh. Not so pasha. According to Beis Shammai, Bayur on Yontif is identical to Bayur on Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, it's more kuladik. But even then, Beis Hillel says it's not like a regular weekday. It's not like you can just do whatever you want. There are still certain rules and regulations that you have to follow. So, Gemara Tanya into the Brisa. Rabbi Gamliel said that this, that Beis Hillel said, that you're allowed to be Bayur, Kedarkoi, Bechekoi, Bekonin, Ubetamchoi, that you're allowed to be Bayur on Yontif. And by the way, it sounds like you can even be Bayur, Psoilis Mitoicha Oichel. Right, Bishama is the one that said that you have to be Bayur Oichel Veoichel. According to Beis Hillel, it sounds like you can even be Bayur. That's only true k'sha'oichel merubah ala psoilis. So if there's more oichel than psoilis, then if you want to remove the psoilis, you can remove the psoilis. But if there's more psoilis than oichel, divrei hakol, everybody agrees, noitlos ha'oichel, u'meniachas ha'psoilis. Everybody would agree that you have to take the oichel, and you have to leave the psoilis. If there's more oichel than psoilis, then Beis Hillel is going to say, it's yontif, it's not Shabbos, you want to remove the psoilis, remove the psoilis. On Shabbos, that's bayur deiraisa. But on yontif, it's going to be fine. But let's say you have more psoilis than oichel, then you can't remove the psoilis. And it's for a different reason. It's not for a hilchas bayur reason. It's for a tircha reason. Because if you have so much psoilis, it's not going to be okay. But the Gemara jumps on this. And the Gemara says, psoilis meruba lo eichel, mi ikman deshari. If there's more psoilis than eichel, you can't touch anything. Why? Geshmak a reason. Because the eichel is bottled to the psoilis. Bittol beroiv. The psoilis is muktza, so that now the eichel is muktza. So you have a big taruva, so you're not allowed to touch. Psoilis meruba lo eichel, you're not touching. So the Gemara says, you're right. That's not what I meant. If there's more psoilis physically, quantitatively, than there is oichel, then we're not having this discussion, because then the whole taruvah becomes a problem. It's all muksi, and I'll let it touch it. What we mean to say is that in the event that there was less psoilis than oichel, but there was a bigger tircha, for whatever reason, to remove the psoilis than there was the oichel. So even though Basil says that you're allowed to remove the psoilis, that's based on Hilchas Bayra. But once you get involved in other areas in Halacha, such as Tircha, Tircha ready is something he's not going to allow you to do. Rabbi Gamliel said, Af Madiach Bish Bishalom. Rabbi Gamliel had another eitz of how you could do Bayra on Yontif. You could take the kidneys, for example, put it into a bucket, fill it up with water, the psoilis and the eichel are going to separate, and you can remove it that way. Tanya Omer Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Tzadik. Kachayim and Hogan Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel. The Midigah Bais Rabbi Gamliel was Shayimavian Deli Mali Adashim. They would bring a bucket full of lentils, Umbatsifin Olive Mayim. They would put water on top of it. Mitsifin Olive Mayim means the water would be floating on top of it. What would happen is the oichel would rise to the top, and the psoilis, the oichel would go to the bottom, and the psoilis would rise to the top. That's what happened. They would remove one. Right? Remember, time we went to the brisa ipcha, that it was just the opposite. The oichel would rise, and the psoilis would sink. So Mar says, like kash, it depends what the psoilis was. Ha ba afra, ha begili afra. Rashi says, afar, dirt that sinks to the bottom. Gili is straw. That's lamaila that rises to the top. Another halach. Mishami says in mishalcha b'yontif ela monos. So we're discussing literally mishloach monos, but not on Purim. We're discussing it on Sukkot and on Pesach and on Shavuos, on Yontif. So somebody wants to send a gift to his friends. Mishami says you're allowed to, but only monos. Monos, Rashi says, is something that's ready to be eaten right away. Davar hamuchon. So it has to be something that you can literally take a bite into. But if it requires some form of preparation, it's not going to be okay. Basil says, Mishalchim behema, chaya v'oif, bein chayim, doesn't matter if they're lying, even if they're ready shalchim. The reason is because Basil says that even though these things are not prepared, but you could prepare them. I mean, you can't give somebody a gift on Yontif if he's not going to be able to use it on Yontif. So Bishamai says, you have to give him a sandwich. If it's literally ready to go, then it's fine. Otherwise, it's not fine. Beis Hillel says, no. Give him a behemoth. You're allowed to do shchita. Give him a chayin and a knife. He'll do shchita. He'll do kisi adam. Right? It's fine. Doesn't matter if it's alive. It's shachad. You can cook it. You can roast it. You can do whatever you want. Another halacha, Beis Hillel says, meshalchin yenois, shmonim, slosois, v'kitnias. You're allowed to send wine. You're allowed to send oil. You're allowed to send flour. You're allowed to send kitnias. Avaloi tfuah, but you're not allowed to send tfuah. And the reason is because tfuah, what are you going to do with it? You have to grind it. And toiching, grinding, like we saw, crushing spices and aman aleph, that's already a problem. So it's not something you're allowed to do on Yontif, Rashi says. And being that you're not allowed to be toiching on Yontif, so therefore you can't send for Rab Shimon matib for Rab Shimon, as in Rab Shimon Bayichai, he was koich that teira adif, and he said, no, you're even allowed to send Tfuah. Zokte Gemara. Tani, Rabbi Yechiel taught the following braisa, that when the Mishnah says that you're allowed to send people gifts on Yontif, and according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to send even a lot more things that you are according to Beis Shammai, you have to be careful. You shouldn't send a shura. Meaning, don't send a whole group of people. Don't send an entourage. You want to send a person who's going to knock on your door, very respectfully, he's going to give you a gift. That's Beseder. But to send a shura, that not. Tana, what's a shura? Ain't shura. A Shura means three people. So three people is a problem. By Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi asked the Shaila that you would expect Rabbi Yirmiyah to ask. He said, Tlosa Gavri v'tlosa minima. What if you're sending three people, but each person has something else? One has soilus, the other one has shemen, and the other one has yayin. Mitzat echad. It's a shura. It's a whole group of people. Sounds like a group of people is a problem. Rashi says the reason a group of people is a problem is it looks like you're doing business. It looks like you're on your way to the shuk. So it looks like you're on your way to the shuk. If, however, the reason is, each person is carrying one min. And because each person is carrying one min, so being that I'm allowed to send one person with shemen, one person with yayin, and one person with tzoilus, so I can't send three people if they're all holding the same thing. Either way, the Gemara says, the answer to this question, we're going to have to wait for Tishbi, Yitarets, Kushyas, Vavayas, take Rav Shimon, Matu, Rav Shimon said, even allowed to send four. Now, why did we say you shouldn't be able to send four? Because you're not allowed to send a gift unless you could do something with the gift on Yantav. So what are you going to do with the tfuah? Tanya, Rav Shimon, Matu, tfuah. Rav Shimon was matted for, and he explains. So you're going chitin lasnes mehen ludyos. You can take chitin and you can make ludyos. So what is ludyos? Rashi says Michael chitin. It's a Michael that you make from chitin. Sa'irim, barley. So in the times of Chazal, sa'irim. Today it's a key ingredient in certain foods, cholent, etc. But in the time, back in the day, it was given to behemoths. So what can you do with sa'irim? Litan lefnei behemtoi. You can give it to your behemoths. And adashim lentils, lasnes mehen resisin. What's resisin? Nacharashi. Michael also, min adashim. Some food that's made from adashim. The way we would have diched it. Either way, the Gemara, Rav Shimon says there are things you could do with, even though traditionally, what would you do with tefillah? You would crush it and big toichin. Things that, even though you would have thought you could do on Yantiv, we now know is not so pashut. But at the same time, Rav Shimon said there are things you could do that you zichah can do on Yantiv, and therefore it's going to be okay. Another mishnah, Shalchan Kalim. What if somebody wants to send clothing to somebody on Yantiv? Rashi says Kalim, usually that means utensils, here means begodim. So, Kalim, you're allowed to send. Bein tefun, doesn't matter if that's so. Bein chayin, it's with the natsah. V'afop ishneyesh bam kalayim. This is a chiddush. Even if it's kalayim, what are you going to do with a beggar that's kalayim? The Gemara is going to ask the kasha. Fein letzor chmoyed. As long as you can use it on yantiv, you're allowed to send it. Avaloi sandal hamasumar. You're not allowed to send a sandal hamasumar of mesechta Shabbos daf samach fein. Sandal hamasumar Shabbos daf samach. V'loi minol she'enoi tafer. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. You're also not allowed to send a shoe that's not sewed. Rabbi Yehuda said afloi minol lavi. You're not allowed to send a white shoe. Nation tzarich umen, because people used to wear black shoes, not white shoes. So if it's a white shoe, no one's going to wear it on yantiv. So if you're not going to wear it on yantiv, you can't send it. Zach Klal, here's the rule: kol shenei oisim by biyantiv mashal chenoisim. Anything that you're going to be able to use on yantiv, you're allowed to send. But if you're not going to use it on yantiv, then you're not going to be able to send it. So the Mishnah began: you're allowed to send clothing to your friend on yantiv. Food machloek b'sham b'sil. Here there's no b'sham b'sil. So you're allowed to send clothing. It doesn't matter if they're sold, if they're not sold. Even kalayim. So the Gemara says Mishlam etfu. Remind them why you're allowed to send sold clothing. That's easy. Chazal malvish. You can wear it. Nami, even if you have clothing that's not sewed, but you can still wear it to cover yourself. You can't wear it literally in the most fit way, but you can get something out of it. You can cover yourself. You can warm yourself with it. What are you doing with kalayim? Kalayim? You're allowed to send kalayim? How is it a tzayrach yontif? Kalayim, you're not allowed to touch. So that's the you'll tell me. Maybe you can use it as a cushion. Maybe you can sit underneath it. But then you're learning to the bright side. You're not allowed to put kalayim on top of you. But you're allowed to put it underneath you. That's midday raisa. But the chachamim said, also last is king. You're not allowed to do it midday rabbanon. Shema tichrach loy nimal basari. Because we're afraid that maybe one here of kalayim is going to get out, it's going to touch your basar, meaning you're sitting on it, but it's going to end up touching your flesh, and because it's going to touch your flesh, you're going to end up benefiting from it, and that's not something you're allowed to do. So the midday raisa, you can sit on the kalayim. It's ubeget kalayim lo yala olecha, but if you want to be on it, that's fine. But midrabanon, it's not fine. So if it's not fine, so what are you doing with the kalayim? You're not wearing it, and you can't even sit on it. Maybe you're going to use it as a cushion, meaning you want to sit on two pillows. The underneath pillow is going to be kalayim. The one closer to your body won't be kalayim. Maybe that's fine. But the Gemara said it's not. Because Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Amar Rav Yosef ben Shaul, Amar Rebbe, Mishum Kila Kadish de Yerushalayim. This traces itself back to one of the Heilige Kehillas in Yerushalayim. They said, quote, Afilu Esematsoyesuagabizu. If you have 10 pillows, one on top of another, the kalayim tachteim, and there's kalayim underneath all 10, also lishanelam, you're not allowed to sleep on it. Mishum shanemar lo yalo olecho. Some take out that girsa, but the bottom line is that's also not okay. So what are you doing with kalayim? You're allowed to send someone a gift of kalayim on yantiv. What exactly are you going to do with the gift? You can't wear it. You can't cover yourself with it. You can't sit on it. And you can't even sit on top of 10 things that are on top of it. So what are you going to do with it? So the Gemara says, Ela beviloin. Maybe what you do with it, you do it as a curtain. Your curtains are allowed to be shatnez, right? The Gemara says, not so fast. But my Ula said, why is it that a viloin, curtains are mekabel tumah? You would have thought a viloin maybe is part of the house. A house is not mekabel tumah. It's mechuber to karka. Karka is not mekabel tumah. So you would have thought that a viloin is also not mekabel tumah, but it is. And Ula wondered why. Because sometimes the shamish, who was cold while he was doing his works, he would go to the viloin, he would wrap himself in it. So again, this is all midrabanan, but they said that you're not allowed to do it. So again, what are you doing with it? You're allowed to send someone a gift of pilayim. We knocked out every possible scenario of anything you might, even you can't even use it as a curtain. So what are you going to do with it? So the Gemara says, no, you know, you have to say bekashin. It's talking about with this material was a hard material, and because it's a hard material, it wouldn't warm you. And Rashi says, top line, therefore mutter leishev, you can't wear it, but if you want to sit on it, that's something you would be able to do. So this was a certain type of felt. It came from the place of Narash, and it was hard. So namta is a beged shekayim felt der balaz. Gamda, just the tight, just kasha means hard. Narash Rashi says is shame mokim, sharia means is mutter. Mutter li yeshifa, you're allowed to sit on it. So the point is, if it's a hard fabric, then you're allowed to sit on it. If it's a looser, softer fabric, so there you could benefit from it if it touches you. So there, if the halach is, you're not allowed to sit on it. But if it's a harder fabric, that's something you're allowed to do. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, Ardolayin ein behem mishum kalayin. So Rashi says, Ro'isi betshuvas haga'oinim. He found in the Tshuvas HaGa'onim that what were Ardolayim? Sheregilin lov shom tachas min alayim. So this was something that they used to put underneath shoes. And sometimes it was made of shatnez. So is it therefore aser to wear? So our papa said a chiddush. I mean, based on everything we just said, you would think for sure it's aser. Everything is aser. No, Ardolayim ein behem mishum kalayim. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hani tsrori de pshiti ein behem mishum kalayim. So these were sacks that were used to keep money in. So like a money pouch. If the sack, the pouch itself is made of kalayim, it's fine. And the reason is, because you're not wearing it, it's not a beged, quote unquote, what would be the chashash? The chashash is that you're going to put it on you and maybe it's going to warm you. But the money is not cham. The money is kar. The coins are cold. And as a result, it's not going to warm you. So therefore, it's not a problem. The bezrani, however, if you have a pouch of seeds, then yesh mem mishum kalayim, because that's already softer. And as a result, it's going to heat, warm your body, you're going to end up benefiting from it. Rav Ashi said, Echaz Emesh Kalayim, either one is not Kalayim, Shein Darachimim Bekach, because this is not the way of warming yourself, and as a result, this is not going to be a problem. Drop more Gemara. Avaloi Sandal HaMesumer. You're not allowed to send somebody a Sandal HaMesumer. So the Gemara says, Sandal HaMesumer, my time, but why can't you send a Sandal HaMesumer? Mishum Maise Shehoyo, it was based on a Maise Shehoyo. So the Gemara Masech Shabbos Daf Samach talks a lot about the Sandal HaMesumer. So this was a sandal, it was made of wood, and underneath it, it was like cleats. Underneath it, there was nails that were coming out. It was very, very dangerous. And the Gemara says there was a Maisa Shahaya where there were a bunch of Yidden that were hiding. It was a Shasak Zera, and they had reason to believe that maybe the enemy had found them. And as a result, they had to be on the move. They had to run to some new location. And they started running, and there was Rachmana Litzlan, a stampede. And it was a very, very bad day. And they made a Zera never to wear those shoes again, because it all happened because of these particular shoes that they were wearing. So the sandal HaMesumer is a shoe that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos, you're not allowed to wear on Yom Tov. The Gemara that discusses why they made the Gzeir only on Shabbos. Shabbos and Yom Tov you can't wear it. Meaning, if they were worried about a Sakana, you shouldn't be able to wear it on a Tuesday either. But that was the Gzeir that was made. Davka on Shabbos and Davka on Yom Tov. And based on this, my shoe, you're not allowed to wear Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, you're not allowed to send it as a gift on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So that's the Gemara. Amr Abaya said, sandal HaMesumer also now, you're not allowed to wear sandal HaMesumer. Umutal Tautalei, however, you're allowed to carry a sandal HaMesumer. Also, now you're not allowed to wear Mishal Ma'is because of the story we just mentioned. Mutal Talta, you're allowed to carry Midiktani in Mishalchen. How do I know that? Because it says that you're not allowed to send it as a gift. Because if you can tell me also you're not allowed to carry it, Hashal Tatulay Yasim Mishalchen, if you're not allowed to carry it, then obviously you're not allowed to send it as a gift. So it must be that not only you're not allowed to. That must be you're really allowed to be metalted. It's just sending it is something you're not allowed to do. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to send someone a shoe that wasn't sewed properly. Pshita. What are you going to do with a shoe that wasn't sewed? Like now, right now you know you stapled it together. You somehow put a pin there. So right now there's a peg there. It's together, but the maysa it's going to fall apart. If we're not allowed to wait, Rabbi Huda said, "Af middle of you, not even." where or send somebody a white shoe. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Matir b'shachar. We just said you let her wear a black one. You only now wear a light one. The reason is because you still need to make it black, and because you need to make it black, so it's for therefore it's not going to be okay. Maybe you're not going to wait. You're not going to wear it. You can't send it as a gift. Rabbi Yosi b'shachar. Rabbi Yosi said that a black one is not okay. Because even if it's black, but the shoe still has to be smooth. There were hairs that were coming out. And because there were hairs that were coming out, it's still not red. I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as long as it's black, it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, just because it's black doesn't mean it's fine. Tzarech letzachtzachai. Lachlikai, Rashi says, you still have to smoothen it out. There might be things coming out. Mar said, v'loi pligi. Mar ki asri, mar ki asri. They were both following the minigun there. Said, b'asri demar, bisra letachas. B'asri demar, bisra le'il. Where Rabbi Yehuda was, the busser part of this leather was on the inside of the shoe. So the outside, there were never these hairs. There were never these hairs. So the only thing you have to make sure is that it's the right color, but you're never going to have to smooth out the hairs. As a result, we don't care about the hair. Where Rabbi Yosi was, it was on the outside. If it was on the outside, you had to make sure it was smoothed out. And therefore, even if it's black, it's still not something that you're going to be able to use. Exhale. So just to sort of end the parak, tomorrow's daf, we're going to be already knee deep into Perek Yontif, the second Perek Masechtes Beis, the sugyas of Erev Tavshilin. So I was thinking that there were two primary topics in the first Perek Masechtes Beis. The first and the most obvious was Beis and Aldo Beyontif, the Hamistoif Mimena. But Beis and Aldo Beyontif, that was the Iker sugya of the first Perek Masechtes Beis. But there was a subplot that really took us through the first Perek Masechtes Beis, and that is the Mishnah mentioned many, many, many machloikasin between Beis Shammai and Misael. So I think it's kedai to recap them very, very quickly, super high level, and then speak out a ha'ara that maybe brings it all together. So we had a machloikas between Beis Shammai and Misael in the Mishnah. Beis and all the Beyantif. Beis Shammai said Teyachel. Misael said Loi Teyachel. Beis Shammai and Misael argued about what the shir Bal Yeira and Bal Yematze is for chametz. Are you allowed a shecht, a chaya, and an oif on Yontif if you didn't prepare offer before Yontif to be able to do kisei adam? Beis Shammai is mekel in all three of these cases, and Beis Hillel was machmer. If you have a ladder that was used specifically and uniquely for a shayvach, that's where birds and pigeons and doves live, and you want to move it mishayvach l'shayvach, are you allowed to or you're not allowed? Beis Shammai says, no, it looks like you're doing work. Maris Ayin. Beis Hillel says that this is something that you would be allowed to do. Beis Shammai said a very big chiddush, that if somebody wants to eat chicken on Yontif, so you have to prepare the chicken before Yontif. Obvious. Otherwise, it's going to be muksa. But it's not enough to verbally and orally prepare it. You would have to go to the chicken, grab it by the lapel, give it a yank, literally a shuckle, bimenaneid, put it back, and then come back on Yontif and use it. Bisul says, no. What you have to worry about is muksa. Muksa, as long as you're making it, you say that this is something that I'm going to want to use, that's something that's going to be okay. Beis Shammai said that if somebody wants to take his pestle that was used to crush spices, and he wants to now hack flesh on top of it, it's not okay. Okay, Bisul said it's fine. Very yesoidus thing of machloikis. That's not only negei hilchas yontif, but that's also negei hilchas Shabbos. The Eli was a keli shemalachtoi leisser. You want to carry it now, letzarech gufoi, because you want to use it. Beis Shammai holds kli shemalachtoi leisser. Even letzarech gufoi, you're not allowed to be metaltol. Beis Hillel says that a kli shemalachtoi leisser is something you're allowed to be metaltol letzarech gufoi. If you shecht an animal on yontif, now you have the skin. What are you do with the skin? Can't process it. That's not a malachas eichel nefesh. That's not something that you're allowed to do. Beis Shammai was very machmer when it came to treating the ar. Beis Hillel said it's fine. Beis Hillel said if you want to take the ar and you want to put it in front of the darsim, wink, wink, you'll use it as a doormat, as a rug. Like this, people are going to walk in and out. They're going to harden it. That's okay. Beis Shammai said chas v'shalom. It's not ma'abe, but it's similar to ma'abe. It's not something you're allowed to do. Beis Shammai, in fact, took it so far and they said that if you don't have a kezayis basar on the ar, you can't even pick it up. It's going to be muktzah. Bisul says, no, ar is not muktzah. Ar is something that you would definitely be allowed to move. In the olden days, stores would sometimes open up on Yontif to provide people with, you know, some of the wares that they needed. But there were shutters that were usually used to close up the store. Are you allowed to remove the shutter on Yontif or are you not? In Binyan Stira Bekalim, stating that maybe it's not something you should be allowed to do on Yontif. Beis Shammai was machmer, Beis Hillel was mekel. Beis Hillel holds of mitoich. Shammai doesn't hold a mitaych. But he still holds that any melacha that you're allowed to do letzarich haichal nefesh, you're also allowed to do shalai letzarich haichal nefesh. So you're allowed to carry letzarich haichal nefesh. You can carry a child. You can carry a lulav. You can carry a sefer Torah. You can even play ball, maybe, on yontif. Because these are things that you're allowed to do based on mitaych. But Shammai doesn't subscribe to the chiddush of mitaych. Beis Shammai said that just like you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maisers on Yontif, you're also not allowed to take the truma and the maiser and physically give it to a kohen. Beis Hillel, the maskana segemara holds that you're allowed to give the truma and the maiser to a kohen. In today's daf, we saw machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel as it relates to toichen on Yontif. Beis Shammai was machmer as it relates to beirer on Yontif. Again, Beis Shammai said beirer on Yontif is treated just like beirer is on Shabbos. And then finally, what kind of gifts is somebody allowed to give someone else on Yontif? According to Beis Shammai, mishloach monos, but monos literally muchan Rashi says. I mean, that's ready. You can literally take it out of the wrapper and enjoy. But anything that involves even a little bit of preparation, you're not allowed to give somebody a yantiv. Beis Hillel wasn't so machmer, Beis Hillel was meikel. So again, 13, that's what we just counted, machloikis in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as it relates to the halachos of Hilchis Yantif. The first three, Beis Shammai was meikel, Beis Hillel was machmer. The latter 10, Beis Hillel was meikel, and Beis Shammai kedarkoi was machmer. So as it relates to Abayish and all the Yantif, and as it relates to the topic of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, one ha'ara that I saw in the Sefer Mekroi Kodesh from Rav Hersh Pesach Frank, Rabbi Shal Yerushalayim, also one of the themes of the first parak of Masechtas Beis, different great Rabbonim of the late 19th century and early 20th century of Yerushalayim. And this is a ha'ara that he brings, that he heard from one of his chaverim. It was a ha'ara that took place at a train station in Europe. So Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, the Klichemda, who the Mikroi Kodesh, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, refers to as the Goyen Mei Ostrov, but he's referring to Rameir Don Plotsky, was once at a train station, and there was a bunch of Yidden that were around him, and they were waiting for the train to come, and it was quiet. So the Klichemda turned to the Oilem, and he says, "Nu, does anyone have a kasha? Maybe someone has a good kasha. Somebody wants to ask something." So there was a Yid there, and he turned to the Klichemda, and he asked him a bomb kasha. A bomb kasha on a Gemara in the Sechtes Beya, Daf Hei Amid Beis. Now, to do this properly, we would really revisit Daf Hei Amid Beis, but ve'inkan mekoymei, ve'inkan zmanoi laharach. But the kasha was basically this. Rav Shita, in the first parak of Masechtas Beya, is that, according to Beis Hillel, that Beya should nolda biyantiv loy teyachel. What happens if a Beya was nolda on the first day yantiv? Can I eat it on the second day yantiv? Or can I not eat it on the second day yantiv? And Rav Shita was, Beya should nolda bezeh, muteres bezeh. And it was based on a memanavshach. Because really, the two-day yantiv is based on a suffix. You don't know if today's yantiv, if tomorrow's yantiv. But if today is Yontif, tomorrow's Chayil. And if tomorrow's Yontif, it's today's Chayil. So every two-day Yontif is really made up of one day of Yontif and the other day of Chayil. So Rav made a very nice cheshbon. He said, because if today's Yontif, so it's a Beish and Alda B'Yontif, then tomorrow's Chayil. You're allowed to eat a Beish and Alda B'Yontif B'Chayil. And if tomorrow's Yontif, and therefore you're not sure you're allowed to eat it, that means today's Chayil. So it's not a Beish and Alda B'Yontif. So Manavshach, he said, it's going to be Mutter. But then Rav said, there's one exception to the rule, and that is Rosh Hashanah. Shnei Yomim Toivim Shal Rosh Hashanah, Rav Shmuel D'Amri Travayu. And the reason was based on the concept that the two-day yontif on Rosh Hashanah is different than the two-day yontif by all the other yomim tovim. All the yomim tovim, one day is yontif, the other day is chayil. We just don't know which is which. On Rosh Hashanah, both days are vada yontif, and it's based on the principle of yoyma arichta. And we went through in detail, both in the Gemara and in the Raid, what exactly yoyma arichta was. But the short explanation of what Yom HaRichta was, it was based on a reality. The reality was that Bezdin was only accepted Eidus for Kiddush HaChodesh up until the Zman of Mincha. But once the Zman of Mincha passed, Eidim were no longer accepted, their testimony was no longer accepted. And it was based on that, whatever the cheshbon is, that there's something called Yom HaRichta. So the Gemara asked the Kasha. The Gemara said that after Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, and he said, "Shiyu mekablin edus achodesh kol hayom." That this takana that you're only mekabel edus achodesh up until mincha lemaila was something that made sense when there was a beis hamikdash, but now that there's no beis hamikdash, it doesn't really make sense anymore. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai unwound it, which means, says the Gemara in Cheshbon, that once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai unwound this mitzios that we're only going to be mekabel Eidim for Kiddush HaChodesh up until the Zman HaMincha, that means the whole Svara that is the premise of Yom HaRichta, Mitakonis Rav Yochanan Zakeh Ve'elach, no longer existed. Which means this whole idea of Yom HaRichta, which had a nafkamina and halach in the world of Beish and all the Beyantim, was something that made sense as long as it was a Beis HaMikdash, as long as it was a takana that would not make Kabbal Eidos for Kiddush HaChodesh Min HaMincha L'mal. But once Rabbi Yechimitz Aki unwound it, it really made no sense anymore. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, if that's the case, why is it that today the Amiram said, Mitakonis Rabbi Yechimitz Aki, Noch the Churban the Amiram were paskinin, that Beish Nod on the first day Rosh Hashanah is going to be also on the second day Rosh Hashanah, L'chura Mitakonis Rabbi Yechimitz Aki Ve'elach, there's no Yom HaRichta anymore, because the whole Yom HaRichta is predicated on a takana that existed when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh was mevatel it. So once he was mevatel it, the halacha should be that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are no different than any 2 day yontif. So if it's no different than any 2 day yontif, so the halacha should be that Beis HaNoldov on the first day Rosh Hashanah should be mutter on the second day Rosh Hashanah. And this kasha was the topic of the entire Daf Hei Masechtas Bei. And the Gemara gave several terutzim, and one teretz the Gemara gave was Rav Ada v'Rav Shalmon, Travayu mi Beit Kluchis. They both came from a place called Kluchis. And they came in a Gemara in Beit Afayim and Beis, and this is their claim to fame. And they said, quote, that af mitakonas Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh ve'elach Beit Asura, that Chazal wanted that the halacha should be Beit Shanod on the first day Rosh Hashanah will be also on the second day Rosh Hashanah, even after it didn't make sense anymore. Even after Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh already unwound the whole idea that premised the concept of Yom HaRichta. Why? My time, because Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Because Metz Hashem, Bemher Abi Amenu, Amen Va'amen, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And when this is going to be a Beis HaMikdash, we're going to go back to the Takana that we're not Mekabel Eidus HaChodesh Men Amin Cholamayla. And once we do that, what's the halacha going to have to be? That Beis Shenold on the first day Rosh Hashanah has to be also on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Because now there will be Yom HaRichta. Now, if now there's going to be Yom HaRichta, Yom Ru, people are going to say, Ishtaket Milo Yachalnu Beitz of Yontif Sheini. Last year we used to eat a Beis Shenold on the first day Rosh Hashanah and the second day Rosh Hashanah. We should do the same thing. But these people are not going to know. No, last year, it was different than now. Because last year, there was no Yom HaRichta. Now there is a Yom HaRichta. So it's for that reason, Bezdin maintained the Takana, Chazal maintained the Takana, and they said, even though there's no Yom HaRichta, Mitakonis Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh Ve'elach, but because Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, so it's for that reason, the halacha is going to be that today, a Beis Shanod on the first day Rosh Hashanah is going to be us on the second day Rosh Hashanah. So this year turns to the Kli Chemda, and he said, Kvod HaRav, I have a bomb kasha. He says, the Gemara says, that Beis Shanod on the first day Rosh Hashanah is also on the second day Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. And when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, people are going to say, Ishtaket. So therefore they said, Beis Shanod b'zeh, Asur b'zeh. Since Kasha was, Beis Shanod b'yontiv z'machloikis b'shamay and b'sil. Beis Shamay said teyachal, Beis Hillel said loy teyachal. Now we paskin like Beis Hillel. That's why Beis Shanod b'yontiv is a seven blot sugya. According to Beis Shamay, it's not a sugya. It's only a sugya according to Beis Hillel. But he said, we know that the Arizal said, that la'asud lavoy, when Mashiach's going to come, that lachin's going to be not like Beis Hillel. It's going to be like Beis Shamay. And by the way, this idea that la'asud lavoy, that lach is going to be like Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shamay. So the Velt says in the name of the Arizal, if you have the Siddur Agra on Tefillah of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yotzer Or Uvarei Choshech Oseh Shalom Uvarei Asakol. So the Vilna Goyen's son, Rabbi Avram Ben Agra, he says Shamati Mimoiri Abba Hagoyen Zatzal Shel Asa Lava Yi Alocha Gibei Shammai. The Asa Lava, the Alocha is going to be like Bishammai. So the Vilna Goyen also said it. So he said the Alocha, the Asa Lava is going to be like Bishammai. So the Alocha is going to be like Bishammai. What's Bishammai Shita? Beishinol the Beyantif. Teyachel. So Bey is going to be mutter. So what's the problem? The whole gezerah is Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Last year it was mutter. People are going to make a mistake, and this year they can also be matter. What do you mean? Now it is mutter because Bisham Eishitas Bey Shanol the Beyantif Teyachel. So his kasha that he turned to the Kli Chemda, a Meher Yibana. She said, what are you worried about? Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash. No, next year it's going to be fine because now the halach is like Bishamai, and Bishamai Shita is Bey Shanol the Beyantif Teyachel. So the Kli Chemda told him a teretz based on Tosfos, Masechtas Beis, Daf Beis Amud Beis, beyond the scope of what we're focusing on right now. But said Rav Tzvi Pesach, that he was thinking about the kasha, and he doesn't know if the kasha is really a kasha. He said, why? Because it's true, the Svar Makdoshim say that the Asad Lave, the Alach is going to be like Bishamai. But we always say this, there are many different kufos of the Asad Lave, and it's very crystallized in another tefillah, that we say, after Oysa Shalom, Uvayri Asakoil,
on Shabbos. So we say, and the Torah Chaim in the beginning of Perek Chelek, he brings this tefillah. He quotes the tefillah of Shabbos. And he says that clearly this tefillah is describing four different phases in the world. There's Olam Hazeh, there's Olam Haba, there's Nimois HaMashiach, and there's Tchias HaMeisim. So said Rav Hirsch Pesach, that it's true, La'asud Lavoi, that Allah is going to be like Beshamai. But what does La'asud Lavoi mean? La'asud Lavoi means there's man of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. He says Mehecha Teisi, and he quotes the Tosfos Yontif, that the Tosfos Yontif says that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built before Mashiach is going to come. That's what the Tosfos Yontif says. See, he says if that's the case, this man of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not La'asud Lavoi. La'asud Lavoi at the very least is when Mashiach is going to come. Elamai, Binyan Beis HaMikdash is going to happen Ba'al Modein. It's not even part of the La'asud Lavoi. So he said it's true La'asud Lavoi that Allah is going to be like Beis Shammai. Oh, but the Gezeru was Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, that's even before Bias HaMashiach. It's not La'asud Lavoi yet. So if it's not La'asud Lavoi yet, so if that's the case, so L'chayra, this has nothing to do with the Arizal, has nothing to do with the Goyen, and therefore it could be then the Halacha is going to be like Beis Hillel, and that was the Gezeira of Rav Ada and Rav Shalman mi Beit Kulis, the Svara of Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash v'yayim Ruh Shtaket v'divrei pi Chacham Chein. That's where Rav Tzvi Pesach brings the Maisa Shahaya Kachaya with the Klichemna and Rav Tzvi Pesach. And if you want to see it inside, it's in the Mikroi Kodesh, it's in the Yontev volume, and it's page Kuf. It's Daf 100. But I was thinking maybe you can say a little bit of a different mahalach, and that is, so whenever there's a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beis Hillel. Not only do we paskin like Beis Hillel, but the Gemara said very, very clearly that Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. That when you talk Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai doesn't even rank. It's literally not even a second opinion. Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah. Yet, when Mashiach is going to come, La'asud Lavoi, whatever tkufa of La'asud Lavoi we mean, but then the Halacha is going to flip, and then it's going to be like Beis Shammai. So what's Pashup Shah? What does that mean? Mamar of Shach. If Beis Shammai is going to be the Halacha of La'asud Lavoi, so we should pass now like Beis Shammai. And if now we don't pass like Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel ain't a Mishnah, so why is it that La'asud Lavoi, then the Halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai? So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkom Damoy, in his Kuntres Divrei Seifrim, and that's printed in the Kovet Shiurim, so he talks about the Machloikins Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. He asks this kasha, and he says a teretz based on a Gemara Masechtas Yevamos Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is discussing differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the Gemara says that really Beis Hillel were the majority, meaning there were more members of Beis Hillel than there were of Beis Shammai. But at the same time, Beis Shammai was Mechada Ditveh. The Talmidim of Shammai was sharper than the Talmidim of Hillel. In fact, two dafin later, also in the first Perek Masechtas Yevamos, Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, these are from the lighter Gemaras in the first Perek Masechtas Yevamos, but the Gemara over there brings a story. The Gemara says that there was once an issue that the Tanam were having with one of the Talmidim of Shammai, and they had to put together a group of Yidin that were going to go speak to this one person from Beis Shammai. And they weren't sure who should go, and they decided that it was going to be Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. And they went to meet with a Yid whose name was Rabbi Doisa ben Horkinus, maybe related to Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, who was also Talmid Beis Shammai. But they went to meet Rabbi Doisa ben Horkinus. So this is Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. They start talking and learning, and Rabbi Doisa ben Horkinus very, very dramatically got the better of these three great Tanam. In fact, just one excerpt from this Gemara. It's a long Gemara, but just to bring out the point. Amalois, after this conversation, so Rabbi Doisa ben Horkinus turns to Rabbi Akiva. He says, tell me, atahu Akiva? That's you? You're the famous Rabbi Akiva that I've been hearing so much about? He said, Ashrechus shezochiso l'shem. He said, Ashrecha, that you were zoicha to a shame time. But if you're asking me, he says to me, I have shepherds that take care of my cattle, and echal that better in learning. They can say a vart better than you can say. So Rabbi Akiva, mi goydel anvesenusay, amalei Rabbi Akiva vafilu l'royei tzayin. He says, I'm sure your royei tzayin are better than me as well. I don't think Rabbi Akiva was being sarcastic. But either way, regardless, this is just a glimpse, a little insight into what was going on. So really, Talmidim of Shammai, they were much sharper than the Talmidim of Hillel. So Rabbi Chanan said, you want to know who's emes? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Read the Gemara. Yevamos Yodalid, Yevamos Tazayin. It's clear that Beis Shammai were Mechada Ditveh. So why don't we pass like Beis Shammai? Because Beis Shammai is above our pay grade.
That's what Bechanan says. He says, because they were too much. We couldn't relate to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai in Lomdus was gerecht, but it went above everybody's heads. And he says, it's a klalim psak that when a dayan paskins a shaylo, ein le dayan elamasha ein avrois. A dayan has to paskin based on what he understands. And if he doesn't understand it, he can't issue a psak. So when it came to the ultimate klali psak, the pasco that says halacha ki beis hillel, the halacha was beis hillel based on this idea of ein ledayin al mashe, and we don't understand beis shammai. How can you possibly beis shammai? But said Rabbi Chanan, that's now. Abul also lava. The pasuk says umala aretz deya kamayim liyam mechasim. That it's going to be umala aretz deya. Then all of our IQs are going to rise to the levels that we'll be able to understand beis shammai. So if we're going to be able to understand beis shammai, hador dina beis shammai is mechada ditvei, and then the halacha is going to be like beis shammai. That's Rabbi Chanan says. In Kuntres Divrei Seifrim. But the Svarim HaKadoshim, Uberoshim Rav Tzadik HaKoyin, in his Pre-Tzadik, and it's in one of his pieces on Rosh Hashanah, and others as well, they all say it a little bit differently. And that is, that Beis Shammai, this Torah, came from the world of Gvura. It came from the world of Din. Beis Hillel's Hashkafa and Beis Hillel's Shita came from the world of Rachamim. It came from the world of Chesed. Now, what exactly does that mean? Above our pay grade. But at the same time, Beis Shammai came from the world of Midas Adin. Beis Hillel came from the world of Midas Harachman. Just to bring it out a little bit. We know that Chazal say, Rashi brings it right in the beginning of his Pirush al HaTorah, Bereishis Bara Elikim Es HaShemayim Ves HaAretz. Elikim is Midas Adin. Says Rashi that it was all of the machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world with Midas Adin, but he realized the world couldn't have a kiyum with Midas Adin. So Shitev Ima Midas HaRachim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Midas Adin a Shutev, and the Shutev was Midas HaRachim. So it was all of the machshava to create the world exclusively with Midas Adin. But the Eved Shnesor wasn't Shaykh. The world wouldn't have a kiyum. And as a result, he was Meshatav Midas HaRachim. But the Svar Makdoshim will say, the Ramami Pano and others, that the Olah B'machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a reality. It was a Metzias. And they say that's Peshat in the Gemara Masechtas Menachos. But the Gemara says that B'shal She'olah Moshe L'Amar, Moshe went up to Shemayim to Mekabel the Torah, he saw Rabbi Akiva. So he was very blown away by Rabbi Akiva's Torah. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if this is Rabbi Akiva, I'd love to see the schar Rabbi Akiva is going to get. And instead of Hashem showing Rabbi Akiva the schar Rabbi Akiva gets in Olam Haba, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbi Akiva's schar that he got in this world, and he showed him a visual of the Romans torturing Rabbi Akiva to death. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Zu Torah, Vizu Schara, what's the cheshbon? So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Shtoik, Kach Ola Lefanei B'machshava. So the Rama Mifano said, that what did the Eibush mean when he said, Shtoik, Kach Ola Lefanei B'machshava? He meant to say that it was Ola B'machshava to create the world B'midas Adin. And being that it was Ola B'machshava to create the world B'midas Adin, that means, on some level, there was a Briyas HaOlam of Midas Adin. Because the Olam HaMachshav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a Metzias. And the Ramami Pano said, that's Pshat in Usara of Nishara Miyoid. Now, what is Sviv of Nishara Miyoid? That Tzadikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaktikim Aleim Kechot HaSayra. What does it mean, Tzadikim HaKechot HaSayra? Because in Midas Adin, we Medaktik even Kechot HaSayra. But the point is, the Olam HaMachshav to create the world of Midas Adin wasn't just a Havamina. The Olam HaMachshava was a reality. It was a Metzias. There was a Metzias that was created in the world called Midas Adin. And that's the Pasuk. Bereishis Bara Elokim. It doesn't say Bereishis Olam HaMachshava. Bereishis Bara Elokim. There was a Bria of Midas Adin. So on some world we live, on some level we live in a world of Midas HaRachamim for sure, but also Midas Adin. Beis Shammai's Mahalach is more Matim with the Bria of Din. With the Olam HaMachshava, which is a Briya of Din. Beis Hillel's Mahalach is more Matin with the world of Chesed, with the world of Rachim. So says Rav Tzadik, and say the Sfarim, that this world is the world of Rachamim. Tzadikim, Chotasayra, Kach Olam Lefanei B'Machshava, in the abstract sense, there is some reality of Din. Oh, but the Iker Briya that we live in is a world of Rachamim. Abul Asad Lavai, the world's going to go back to the Havamin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to go back to the world of Olam HaMachshava. And being that it's going to go back to the world of Olam HaMachshava, so it's for that reason the world is going to end up going back to a world of Midas Adin. So said Rav Tzadik and the Sfarim, that the reason we paskin like Beis Hillel now, And the reason we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai L'Asad Lavoi is because now we live in a world of rachamim. Now we live in a world of chesed. And that's Shitas Beis Hillel. L'Asad Lavoi, we're going to live in a world of din. That world is a world we will be able to survive in. And in that world of din, so now it's Hadar Dina that Allah is like Beis Shammai. Because Elu ve'elu divrei le'kimchem. How's it possible? We had 13 machloikas in the first paragraph of Masechtas Be'ah. How can it be Elu ve'elu divrei le'kimchem? Because there's a world of din and there's a world of rachamim. And in the world of din, the halach is like Beis Shammai. In the world of rachamim, the halach is like Beis Hillel. We paskin like Beis Hillel because we paskin that it was only Olam b'machshava to create the world of midas hadin. Oh, but the bria is really a bria for rachamim. Oh, but l'asim lavoi, there it's going to be a world of din. And being that there it's going to be a world of din, so therefore, then the halach is going to change, and then the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. But the point is, we have a little bit of a deeper understanding, maybe, of what it means that Beis Shammai is. That Beis Shammai comes from Midas Adin, and Beis Hillel comes from Midas Harachim. The truth is, that's why, says Reb Tzad, you find throughout Shas, Beis Shammai is always Machmer, and Beis Hillel is always Mekel. Why is Beis Shammai always Machmer, Beis Hillel always Mekel? Because Midas Adin is Gvura. Midas Hadin is all Chumra, as opposed to Midas Harachamim, which is always Lekula. By the way, the Goyen, that one line that the Vilna Goyen's son quoted from the Vilna Goyen, V'shamati mimori abba Goyen zatzal, shel asad lovi yi alocha ki beis shamay, shehein migvurois, ki begvurois yesha yaminoi. So in this one line of the Vilna Goyen, this is what he said. The reason l'asad lovi is because the l'asad lovi is going to be Gvura, it's going to be Din. And beis shamay comes from Din. So I was thinking, maybe you could say a Chiddush. Maybe. This, that we're going to paskin like Beis Shammai, L'Asad Lavoi, that's going to be why? Because L'Asad Lavoi, the halacha is going to be like, the world is going to be a world of din. It's going to go back to the Olam B'Machshav. And the Olam B'Machshav was to create the world of Midas Adin. And when it comes to Midas Adin, that's the Elo B'Dubar Kim Chaim, that's when we paskin like Beis Shammai. Because that's Big Vures Yesha Yaminoi. But maybe that's only true when Beis Shammai was Machmer. So Beis Shammai is Machmer. So here we don't paskin like the Chumra of Beis Shammai. L'asa lavoi. Then already it's going to be Begvures Yesha Yamina, like the Vilna Goyen said. So then already it's going to be a world of Midas Adin. So we're going to take on the Chumra of Beis Shammai. But what about a Kula from Beis Shammai? What about a Kula from Beis Shammai? So by the way, we don't paskin like Beis Shammai is Kula in this world because Beis Shammai Makom Esilah in a Mishnah. That's not Negei. But what about L'Asad Lavoi? Are we going to paskin like Beis Shammai is Kula as L'Asad Lavoi? If the whole reason why we paskin like Beis Shammai L'Asad Lavoi is like the Svarim HaKadoshim say, not like Rabbi Chanan, but like the Svarim HaKadoshim say, that it's based on Begvura Yesha Yaminoi. It's based on the fact that L'Asad Lavoi is going to go back to the Olam HaMachshava to create the world of Midas Adin. Then L'Chura did be a Havamina to say that that's only going to be true for the chumras of Beis Shammai. Oh, but maybe nishta kulas. What was the kasha that Yid asked the Kli Chemda? Meheira Yibana Beis HaMikdash. For Yomer, they're going to say, Yishtakit. Says kasha was, what are you worried about Meheira Yibana Beis HaMikdash? It's L'Asad Lavoi. If it's L'Asad Lavoi, we pass like Beis Shammai. What's Beis Shammai Shita? Beish and all the Beyontif Teyochel. All right. But this Beis Shammai, Rashi said right in the beginning, putting it all together. Rashi said in the beginning of the parak, is Mikule Beis Shammai. Oh, it's Mikule Beis Shammai. This has nothing to do with Begvuris Yesha Yaminoi. This Beis Shammai, we're not going to paskin like even L'Asad Lavoi. Because over here, Beis Hillel came with the Midas Adin. He was the Begvuris Yesha Yaminoi. So therefore, L'Asad Lavoi, even after Binyan Beis HaMikdash, could be the Loch is still going to be like Beis Hillel. If the Loch is going to be like Beis Hillel, the people are going to say, what's going on over here? So that was from Rav Adin, Rav Shalman, Mibbe Kuchel is said. Therefore, even Mitakonis Rav Yechon Mazaka Ve'elach, the Loch is Beish and all the Bezeh, still Asura Bezeh. What do you mean, L'Asad Lavoi, you worried about? Halach is Beis Shammai. No, this is a Kula from Beis Shammai. And L'Asad Lavoi, the Loch is going to be like the Chumras of Beis Shammai, maybe, but not like the Kulas of Beis Shammai.